Boon to mankind, man. Nothing like a little old Roadrunner stew. Always did say, here he goes. Get it, Toto. You missed. 560 WQAM. I don't know where you learned how to catch Roadrunners.
I was about three or four years old when my family moved to Miami, and I was a radio junkie, probably like you are. I was always aware of him. I feel like I've always known him. But then when I got into radio in 1978 or 9, then he was a competitor. I was working at Love at the time, and he was at Waxy 106. And then when I went to the oldies station, we kind of dethroned them. They were the oldies, and I was at Magic 102.7. So then I would meet him at events, and I was it was like meeting a celebrity, especially for a radio guy that, you know, idolized what he did on the air. I was in awe of his speed and how he could do it and what he could say. And if you're a rookie competitor, you're thinking, I'm really going to kill that guy. And you might have that approach on the air. But when you meet him, he disarms you. He says, oh, Joe, you're sounding so great, man. I listen to you all the time. Oh, the things you do, and you're so awesome. And then you're like, he really had that gift. And that's, I think, the reason he stayed in town for 47 years on the air. And he was so successful. And the listeners loved him. We used to go to Dolphin games. He had 50-yard line seats from the beginning of the Dolphins in 1966. And it would take us 20 minutes to walk from our car because every guy wanted to stop him and shake his hand. I grew up with you, Ricky Ticky, you know. And so being around him was like being around royalty, but he always took you back to just how regular a guy he was.
23 minutes away from 10 on the Tiger. 69 degrees. Thank you. Swing it to the 11, WQAM, Ricky Ticky time.
WQAM. I think because he loved the community, he loved the Dolphins, he loved the culture, he loved the radio market. He was a kind of a king bee in the radio market. And I mean, it's a lifestyle choice. I started in radio here, too, and my original general managers would say, you know, if you want to make it, you got to move to a small market and work your way back. And I'd say, I'm already in Miami. I'm just going to work a little harder. And I think he had that ethic, and he really loved this town. He really did. Actually, on Las Solas, he was the second one that had his handprints on the little walk of South Florida. I think the first one is Connie Stevens. They did Where the Boys Are on Las Solas and A1A. So Rick's handprints are there, too.
There you go. The sounds of the trash man on our survey tonight. Rated number 6, the surfing.
Oh, really? I'm sorry to hear that. The surfing bird. Nobody's home, huh?
He raised a lot of money for children's charities. And when I was at Magic and he was at Waxy, they were kind of going through a change of ownership. And he was a boat without a port, you know. So we brought him in, or the management brought him in, immediately put him in charge of the Magic Children's Fund. And he raised millions. And, you know, he would put together these waltzy, schlossy, you know, promos like, the kids really need your money. You know, the money you save could get Billy an education. You know, those kind of things. And he tugged at your heartstrings, and money started falling out of your pocket. And he had that gift. So I would say, and even he would say, if you said, Ricky, what do you want to be remembered for most? It would be helping the kids, for real. And putting the Beatles on the air. Well, he did sign off with Goodnight, My Love. So I don't know if that was his favorite, but that kind of became a hook to him. People came up to him and said, I conceived my daughter under the palm tree listening to Goodnight, My Love. We miss you, Rick, and wherever you are shining down on us, we'll think about you, and we use you as inspiration as we go forward. So thank you for what you did.
Pleasant dreams, sleep tight, my love. May tomorrow be sunny and bright and bring you closer to me.